Hello everybody, hello and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church, where this community known as Kensington Unitarians meets for worship each and every Sunday of the year. This is public worship. By the law of our land, our church door must remain open, unlocked during this hour. Enshrined in law is the right of each and every person to join us here. So how important then is it, the kind of welcome that we extend to all of you who come to join us? Visitors, guests, friends, newcomers, all are welcomed as part of this community. So let's take a moment to settle ourselves in the here and now. Let's take a breath. Let's take a moment to check how we are. Let's do that little checking through ourselves. How are we in this moment? Are we rattled or amused? Are we feeling tired or energized? Would we describe ourselves as worried or peaceful? We know, don't we, that our lives are a patchwork of experiences and feelings. Our lives are made up of the ups and the downs and all the movements in between. And we know that together, our combined life patterns tell us what it is, or a bit of what it is, to be human. So let's make this time a sacred offering of our common shared humanity. Gathered here, that outside world left aside for a little while, that new inspiration might find a way to our hearts and touch us with that which we consider to be holy. Welcome everyone this spring morning.
To encourage means to hearten, to impart strength and confidence. This is our work as a religious community, to encourage one another, to be bold in engaging the world around us, as well as what scares us internally, to give one another the confidence and the heart to live as fully as possible. We light our chalice to connect us one with another and to strengthen our sense of belonging with progressive religious communities the world over, so that together we might achieve so much more than we could ever achieve alone.
Some of you will have heard me tell this story before. It's one of those stories. It comes from the Sufi tradition. It's a story of Nasruddin, the holy fool. And it tells of the time when he was walking along a deserted road. Imagine the scene, lonely. Night was falling, and he spied this troop of horsemen coming towards him. And his imagination began to work, and he feared that they might rob him or force him to join the army or 101 other horrible things that might happen. And so strong did his fear become on that lonely road with the group of horsemen riding towards him that he leapt over a wall and found himself in a graveyard. Now, the other travellers had seen what had happened. They were completely innocent of any of the motives that Nasruddin had assumed, and they were curious and a bit worried themselves, so they stopped and pursued him and peered over the wall. And they found him there, lying motionless. And they said, "Can we help you? What are you doing down there?" And Nasruddin, of course, realised his mistake, and he said, "Well, it's more complicated than you assume. You see, I am here because of you, and you are here because of me." And it's one of those stories that I think the first time I heard it, I went, what? There's so many messages in there, aren't there? It reminds me, for a start, of all the stuff that goes on in my own head. I mean, I think that some of you don't have the same kind of brains as I do. But some of you do, I know. My brain is just full of imaginings of what might be about to occur. I have sort of busy, anxious conversations with myself. I can even start to imagine that I've really had those conversations with someone else, and that makes it even worse. My fears grow. Now, our ministry theme this month here at Essex Church is courage and resilience. I think one of my personal challenges is to find the courage to check out that what I am imagining in my head is actually true. But in a week of such disturbances, as we come to terms with last weekend's terrorist attack here in London, as the dust starts to settle maybe on a troubling election campaign and those uncertain results after Thursday, I also chose this story because of its last line, when Nasruddin attempts to explain why he's hiding over that wall in the graveyard. It's more complicated than you assume. You see, I'm here because of you, and you are here because of me. Now, for me, this is a healthy reminder that we are in this life together. We're all playing our part in the great drama that is human existence here on our planet Earth home. We're all fellow travellers. How then are we going to relate with one another? So let's take all of that into our time of prayer and reflection now. And do whatever is right for you. Align ourselves, shall we, with that which we hold to be of greatest worth. Let's align ourselves with the great mystery of all that is, of all that has been, and all that ever will be. The cosmic wonder of the universe in which we spin. Tiny, temporary creatures on a tiny, temporary planet, adrift in the depths of space. Let's take a moment to sense that infinite space within which we exist. And now let's bring our awareness to ourselves and to our place in the world, perhaps our reactions to the many events of the last week. We might feel the turbulence of our times, or a sense of change in the air. We may feel removed from it all. Let's just accept and acknowledge how we are feeling. Let's pray for leaders the world over, that they might be able to take a longer view and to work tirelessly for the greater good of all, particularly the vulnerable. Let us find ways to sit with the confusions and uncertainties of our world, that we might be greater than our own fears, our own personal concerns. And a few moments of stillness now for us to send our thoughts and our prayers to people or places where there is need. And may our care for others find ways to be expressed in useful actions this day and all days. Amen. If you have a look at the same hymn sheet on the other side, on the back, there is a beautiful litany of atonement, and we thought this could work well as a shared reading. So Janine is going to take roughly this half of the room. I don't know what you lot in the middle are going to do. choices. So you're going to do the bits not in bold, and I'm going to do the bit that repeats. We're going to forgive ourselves and others. A worthwhile message to repeat from time to time. A litany of atonement.
For remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time that we have struck out in anger without just cause.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time our greed has blinded us to the needs of others.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For the selfishness that sets us apart and alone.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For losing sight of our unity.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For these and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
Sarah and I are going to read some words now by Laura Horton Ludwing, which is quite long, and the words are in the centre of your insert sheet if you want to read along. And they all lead us into a time of shared silence. Spirit of life and love, light within and without, mystery from which we have all emerged, within which we live and die, be with us now as we allow ourselves to drop into the silence and stillness at the centre of our being.
As people of faith, we seek to live in a spirit of love, a spirit of community, justice and peace. And yet in so many corners of the world, both far and near, we see divisiveness and hate. If we look deep within ourselves, perhaps we'll even find those shadow energies there too. We struggle to respond to the outer world and to our own inner dramas in ways that manifest love. At times we may fear that love will not be strong enough. And at times we may question whether love really is at the root of all things in this world with so much struggle and suffering and discord. We may struggle to hold on to our faith in love, knowing that if all things come from the one source we proclaim, that source must somehow hold hate as well as love, violence as well as peace, evil as well as good.
This is the mystery within which we live and die. There are questions that haunt our days and nights, and yet we are not without hope. Our struggles and our questions testify to our longing for peace, for love. Our very longings are born out of that mystery we dare to address as spirit of life and love. In the stillness and silence of our own heart, we read the imprint of love created not by our own will, but planted there for us to discover. By whom or what? We cannot know, and yet it is there. A clue, a talisman, a beacon, a light within. May it keep hope alive, even as we dwell in mystery. May it guide us all as we seek to act wisely and well. May it help us to be vessels of compassion for one another and for our world. Amen. So let's settle ourselves now into the fellowship of shared stillness together, softening our gaze and closing our eyes, allowing that gentle rhythm of our breathing to bring us rest and relaxation. Let us each be a vessel of compassion for one another, for ourselves, and for our aching world. Our stillness will come to an end in a few minutes with a chime from our bell.
I know that it's wrong to blame people. I've been on courses that told us repeatedly that we must take responsibility for our own lives. But I am going to blame various people in this congregation. The people who've introduced me to a love of birds, and particularly garden birds, you are entirely to blame for this being an even more stressful week for me than it was shaping up to be anyway. This week, the blackbirds in the church back garden have hatched their second nestful of babies, having lost the entire first brood to the marauding magpies and crows. And I think that there are several wrens nesting in the garden this year, and there are some fledglings that have just appeared, being watched over by incredibly anxious parents. So what I've learned from the baby birds in the church garden this spring is that sometimes in life, we can only be bystanders, witnesses to the joys and the troubles of others. I tried to scare off the nasty magpies, but I couldn't stand at the window 24 hours a day. And there is something faintly ridiculous about a minister in her dressing gown waving a tea towel and shouting at a magpie. And believe me, those magpies quickly realised the limits of my powers. And we've all tried to be as supportive as possible of the wren family nesting in the hosepipe reel, but in the end, their fate is out of our hands. So, as we consider this week's theme, which is not just bystanders, let's hold the reality that at times all we can do is watch, all we can do is bear witness, all we can do is perhaps observe, so that we can then pass the story on to others. For those of us who sometimes feel the responsibilities of this world weighing so very heavily on our shoulders, it can be worth doing a reality check, can't it, about what we can and cannot control. I was really touched, Margaret, that you'd chosen to sing Pergolesi's Stabat Mater. It's one of my favourite pieces of music. And of course it means, the translation is, the sorrowful mother standing at the foot of the cross bearing witness to the suffering that is going on, unable to do anything but bear witness. But the main message of today's service is the opposite, that we can and do matter, that our actions can and do make a difference. I talked a bit last week, didn't I, about our fears and the fact that we cannot get rid of fear. It is an instinctual response. It bypasses the brain altogether. It takes us straight into fight or flight responses. Fear is a very useful survival tool. Once fear has activated us, what we can then do is observe it from up here. We can start to think our thoughts about our fear response. We can then choose to behave in one way or another. I'm really grateful to Janine for all the help you've given me with this service, but I particularly appreciated the quote that you found that's on the front of the order of service. In this, someone called Ambrose Redmoon says, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than one's fear. The timid presume it is lack of fear that allows the brave to act when the timid do not. But to take action when one is not afraid is easy. To refrain when one is afraid is also easy, but to take action regardless of fear, that is brave. Those words have kept coming back to me all week. After last week's attack on London Bridge, we know now that a number of people could have saved their own lives by running away, and they chose instead to move towards danger to help others. At least two people lost their lives for their bravery, and others are hopefully now recovering from their injuries in hospital. We'll remember perhaps too the actions of two men in Portland in the States who went to protect two young women who were being racially abused and who were then attacked themselves. They lost their lives protecting others, and I want to honour all these people for their bravery. Have you ever asked yourself that question of how you might react in such terrifying moments? I suspect that I would freeze. Psychologists describe our fight or flight response in scary situations, but of course there is a third possibility. The scared rabbit response that stays stock still, unable to move. I pray that none of us get to find out how we respond in dramatically frightening situations. And I apologise if you have had such experiences and you do know already darn well how you respond. Such frightening circumstances are, thankfully, still incredibly rare in our part of the world. And most of us will never have our courage tested in these large circumstances. I think we are more often tested, most of us, by the small everyday choices of life. The times when we might speak out if something has us feel uncomfortable, when we notice wrongdoing or injustice, when we choose to step forward rather than to retreat. As bullying in schools and workplaces becomes more commonly spoken about instead of being hidden as though its existence is too shameful to admit, as the existence of bullying is brought more into the light of day, it's been made clear that if someone speaks out in the early stages against bullying words or behaviours, it is far less likely to continue. Because bullies rely on the complicity of bystanders. Bullies are strengthened by the existence of bystanders. There's something quite subtle and tribal going on in bullying. It's about power, it's about groups, it's about belonging or being excluded. It needs courageous individuals to dare to speak up and say, I am not comfortable with what you have just said or what you have just done. I am prepared to speak to others and let them know what has just happened. I will not be silenced. So courage is not the absence of fear, it's finding something stronger than our fear, which will empower us, embolden us. Courage is a way of being, courage is a place to stand. Courage reminds us that life is precious and that life is worth stepping forwards into. As I've thought more about this topic during the last week, I've come to realise that there are areas in my life where I've allowed fear to hold me back, where I've been a bystander in life rather than a full participant. I wonder if that rings any bells for any of you. Are there aspects of your life where, with courage, you might step forward? Be more fully yourself. Allow new parts of yourself to emerge, perhaps. Start courageous conversations. Take relationships to a new level. Ask for support, perhaps, in a way you've never dared ask before. You don't need me to tell you that we are living in disturbed and disturbing times. Life's complexity and uncertainty and confusion are well and truly showing up, aren't they? In such times, we have choices. We can choose to feed our fears, we can hide away, we can batten down the hatches, as they say, and hope that the storms pass. Or we can choose to face the world, to step forwards in life rather than away from it. We can choose to live according to the values we hold most dear, letting love and justice and hope guide our pathways, our actions and our words. So let's choose to be courageous in the face of all that is. Amen. And so may we in the week ahead face our lives with courage. Courage to be who we truly are, courage to accept others as they are, courage to view our world with loving compassion, accepting all its complexities and uncertainties, yet aligning ourselves with all that we know to be decent, kindly, and just. And may this be so for the greater good of all. Amen.